Well, good morning and welcome to WJBM Local Spotlight here at the station this morning. I have a guest. Before I introduce him, I just want to make a little statement. You know, Jersey, Greene, and Calhoun counties are the premier hunting grounds in all of America. Maybe the world, I don't know. But I know that for a fact because I've just seen the hunters come in to this area over and over from all over the place. When I was at George's, I mean, we got them from all over the country. And they are great people. They come from all walks of life. It's really cool to see that happen. I have two guests today. One, the one I'll introduce first is maybe the top outfitter in Calhoun County. Aaron Quillen. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you, Chris.
And with this, you've got a client of yours that is from, where are you from? Paul Allen. Now, Paul, where are you from?
Davison, Michigan.
They're from Michigan. All right. And tell me a little bit about outfitting, Aaron.
Well, outfitting is a state-licensed operation where the Department of Natural Resources licenses us to take hunters hunting. There are a lot of different aspects to outfitting, a lot of different outfitters. Some outfitters kind of provide ground, maybe a place to stay, and don't do a whole lot of actual effort in terms of getting these guys into the woods. As to where there are other outfitters like ourselves who will pick up the hunters in the morning, make sure they get to the stand, make sure they get in the stand safely. We provide the equipment, the setups, and we help them get into their ambush location where they're going to be hunting deer or turkeys or waterfowl. And then, you know, we come pick them up. We assist in tracking. We take care of the animal once it's been harvested.
Wow, you do it all.
Yeah, we try to.
Yeah. Now, I know you're a young guy. How old are you? Like mid 30s?
44.
44. Wow.
Yes, sir.
You look young.
Thank you.
And, where are you from? How'd you get into this in Calhoun? Because I don't think you're from Calhoun, are you?
No.
No?
Okay. No. I grew up in outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I'll be darned.
A standard bred horse farm.
Really?
Yeah, it was my grandfather's farm. And when my grandfather was diagnosed with a rare illness, he was terminally ill, and he decided that in his final year, he wanted to live in a deer preserve. So he put a fence up around our farm and the neighbor's farm, the neighbor's cattle farm.
How many acres are we talking?
Oh man, it was really probably a couple hundred. And the way it worked is you basically bought the deer that lived in that area from the DNR. They flew a helicopter in and tried to count the deer. And, you know, you put the fence up.
It had to be a tall fence.
It was. It was taller than the fences in Illinois. Ours was 10 feet. In Illinois, I think you're only required to have 8.
Okay.
So with that, I got to see deer on a totally different level than what most people in Michigan get to see. Michigan has higher hunter numbers and smaller land tracts. So there's a lot more pressure on the whitetail. Are a lot more whitetail killed. They don't get to grow up and be larger like we have here.
Right.
You know, it's really the same genetic up there in Canada. And this is the southernmost range of the woodland whitetail. And that's the larger bodied, the larger subspecies of whitetail. And so...
Hey, one question.
Yes, sir.
Where are you going? You fenced all this area in.
Yeah.
Now, did you... Did they bring deer in?
No, they were the existing deer.
The existing deer that were living there.
With the helicopter.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they were right there within this 200 acres.
And what do you think you started off with?
Oh, man.
I mean, just a guess.
So my grandfather was wild. He was a great guy, entrepreneur. We went out and we had trunk loads. He always drove those big Lincolns with a huge trunk. And every day we would go out and just put huge carrot piles trying to bring all the deer into the fence because he didn't think that the DNR would get an accurate count.
Well, and I don't think they did. Jump the fence? How'd they get in?
Well, the fence wasn't built yet. Oh, okay. So he was just trying to draw the deer into the area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before the fence was built.
Yeah. So what that did is that kind of protected the deer from this Michigan army of orange is what they refer to. And it allowed them to get a little bit older. And so I got to see these crazy, you know, like just big bucks chasing does in the rut, vocalizations, fights, like all this stuff that we as hunters like love.
Right.
In real life. And at that time, you know, because we're talking early 90s, that stuff wasn't on TV yet. Right?
Uh-huh.
And it was real and it was raw. It wasn't the edited stuff that you see online today.
So did you build a stand and that's where you watch them? Or just
yeah, I got to hunt it.
Oh, you got
to got to hunt it. Now, I was really young. I was an adolescent hunter. I didn't have a lot of training. I didn't have a lot of skills in that area. But I was out there and I was experiencing it and it just left its mark. It changed my life.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. So how'd you end up at Calhoun?
So I had four buddies that went to guide school. I was in college. I had an entrepreneurship major. And everything with my entrepreneurship major was write a business plan. And everything I did was outdoors, from a ski resort, you know, in the mountains to drift boat fishing.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that were just wild dreams. And as I was approaching the end of my education, my buddies had come back from guide school. Three of them had gotten placed. One was hired on by the outfitter doing the guide school. The other to do elk hunts. The other one was in Colorado doing elk hunts. And then one of the guys was here in Pike and Calhoun counties guiding whitetail hunts.
Okay.
So Derek from Colorado the next year came here. And these guys were guiding. I was at school. I came down to visit, and it was just cool. It was awesome.
Love at first sight.
Right. And so I said, guys, why don't we do this? And so Derek took me up on it. I was 21 years old, my last year of college, and we started an outfitter in Calhoun County, Illinois.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Now, explain to our listeners, so an outfitter, you have to acquire some ground to
have. Yes,
how do you do that?
You know, it's always best on a relationship basis. Aside from outfitting, I come from an insurance family that's based on relationship. Mm-hmm. Everything that you do in business has to be based on relationship. So you try your best to be active in the community, to get referrals, to try and build rapport with the landowners.
Give me an example of a good outfitter and a bad outfitter.
Okay, so a good outfitter is going to treat the land as their own.
Okay.
They're not going to place ruts. They're not going to behave as, I pay you money, I'll do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
A bad outfitter is going to do just that. They're going to rut the place up. They're going to...
What do you mean rut the place up?
Well, you know, sometimes you get some wet ground.
Yeah. And, oh, okay. Rut it up with actual trucks
and
stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Erosion, things like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you hear all kinds of, you know, horror stories, if you will. I recently picked up a farm. The outfitter had partnered with the farmer and bought some of his crops and said, "Don't harvest these. I'll pay you." Well, he never paid the farmer.
Hmm.
When that got back to the landowner, they said, "We're going somewhere else." They came and found me,
okay,
and we began our partnership, and so far it's been great.
How many clients do you have farming ground for ground? How many you got?
Right now we're on about 14 farms.
Okay.
Yeah, total of 2,500 acres.
All right.
Yeah.
And how many clients do you have?
We do about 50, a little bit over 50 a year.
Now, how do you acquire clients? Word of mouth?
Word of mouth is our biggest.
Okay.
We also partner with different nonprofit associations that give us exposure to the people in the room. It's Safari Club International. They're an organization. They are to hunting what NRA is to guns. And so we've partnered with them. That's been great for us. What it does is it allows us to be in the same place with hunters, where a lot of these hunting expos, which we've done lots of those, you could be in a booth right next to Boat Wash.
Oh,
so you have no qualifying on are these people hunters? You know, I've had people stand in my booth and tell me exactly why they wouldn't hunt with an outfitter. And, you know, you just do your best to be polite and say, well, thank you, have a nice day. the best way you can say next possible. And, you know, so with SCIs, it really puts us in a room with hunters, people that are focused on conservation, because that's what it's all about, is conservation and making sure that these resources are available to us and the next generations.
Yes. I mean, years ago, I was talking to I had a good friend who was basically a kid back in the 40s, mm-hmm. I think. And he was telling me that, you know, back then there was a lot of small farmers, you know, had maybe 100, 200 acres farming. And there wasn't very many deer back then. Why? He said, because every farmer had a gun. They saw a deer, they killed it, you know, because it was food on the table. You know, farming was tough.
Yeah.
And deer never had a chance to really progress and grow, but of course that's changed with conservation.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Cool. And it's the hunters responsible for it.
But how about this territory? You know, this territory that we're in, Pike and Greene County. What makes it so good for growing deer?
I think a lot of different things. I think the first thing you're going to hear from a biology explanation would be genetics. I think the second aspect would be food and habitat. Here we have a lot larger tracts of land, mm-hmm. which and a fewer number of hunters based on population.
Okay.
Right, so it's a little bit more spread out, and that allows more deer to be able to grow. We've got the really good thickets where they're able to be protected and feel safe. And then with all these agricultural fields, you know, they've got unbelievable food sources. Yeah, yeah. So aside from the natural, like, herbs or forbs and browse, you know, they've got this supplementary agriculture. And then, you know, the number one food source for a whitetail, doesn't matter where you are, is always going to be acorn. And so,
acorn.
I think that's probably the staple of a whitetail's diet.
I'll be darned, man! They get so big.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Hey, Paul. So,
yes, sir.
How did you find this guy?
So I had a buddy that brought me down, and back in 2003, my buddy met Aaron at one of the SCI shows, and ever since then, I've never looked back and always came down.
Yeah. Do you still hunt in Michigan too?
Not as much.
Oh, really?
I prefer to come down here. I drive 9 hours.
Do you got to come here? Have you killed some pretty good sized bucks?
I've killed some nice sized bucks. It every time it's amazing.
What's your strategy?
Just stay quiet and shoot straight and aim small.
I actually tried deer hunting once. You know Tim Carmody? You know Tim from over Calhoun.
Okay.
Well, he has a farm. He was into deer hunting. And my son Michael's 10 years old. And he goes, Chris, you ought to take Michael deer hunting. And I go, well, I don't know anything about it, but okay. And so he kind of educated me a little bit. He goes, I got a stand. So I got all, you know, I got the license and everything. I got the gear, the orange vests, and had a stand. And I took Michael out, and we didn't see anything. You know, it was pretty bad. So then we did that for a weekend, and we came back, and then one time I came back by myself. Okay, it was on a Sunday, and it was getting toward the evening. I hadn't seen anything, so I packed up my stuff, put my gun in my holster, you know, and walked on down the hill. I got down the hill, got to my truck, and I get to my truck, and I'll be darned, it's still light outside, so I could still shoot one. And there's two pretty good sized does right there, about 40 feet away from my truck, just eating some grass. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. So I get real careful. You know, I'm kind of hiding behind my truck. And they're just eating. They look up. They actually see me. You know, they see me. But yeah, they said, he can't hit the broadside of a barn. They could tell I was a novice. But I did get my gun out. I got it out and got a shell in it and put it right over the hood of my truck. I mean, it was the perfect shot. And I pulled the trigger, and that bullet went right over that deer's head. He popped up. Her ears popped up, looked at me, and said, "Woo! I'm glad you're a bad shot." And just took off running. It was gone. I was like, so after that, I go, nah, you know, you need to go back playing cards or do something else because you're just no good at it.
So. Well, you won't be the first to do that. You won't be the last.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's my story. How about yours? I know you got a better story than that.
Oh, I would have to say, we were on this one farm. Derek, the guide, took me up, and he's like, sit on this side. It's a high stand. It's actually his brother put it up, Ryan. And he goes, the bow hook's going to be high because the guy who hung the stand, he's a tall guy. And I was like, all right. And I'm only 5 foot. Six, and Ryan's probably 6'4", and so I got up there, thankfully, with my safety harness and everything else. So I sat there within about an hour. I'm sitting on this green top and had this nice 8-point come over the top, beautiful deer. I'm like, man, it's too early yet.
You didn't want to kill out so quick.
Yeah, I want something bigger, so I waited. In the meantime, I probably seen over 100 deer come through this field.
That morning?
It was during the evening.
Okay, evening.
And they just all started hopping this fence. And I'm just like, wow, this is
cool. Well,
he
said it was a good spot. It was a good spot.
It was a great spot.
100 deer, for yeah. God's sake.
At least 100. And, I mean, there was just does and bucks. And it was just an amazing hunt. I mean, I forgot to pick up my bow at, because I was just in awe of all these deer coming. And then finally I seen this one coming, and he didn't give me the opportunity to shoot. But I didn't harvest a buck that night, but I just learned so much, and I had the best time.
And you were bow hunting.
And I was bow hunting, yep.
Let's touch on that for a minute. So the season starts in when? October?
October 1st.
Okay, and that's bow hunting season.
Yes, sir.
And so that goes from October till when?
Mid-January.
Okay.
Yep.
Anytime then, bow hunting's going on right now, and you can get a deer anytime with a bow. Except.
Yes.
Except.
So they changed a few years back. There are, we'll just call them gun seasons. There are two gun seasons. They're the weekends before and after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So not the Thanksgiving weekend, it's the weekends before and after. So we'll just refer to gun one and gun two.
Okay.
You can now technically hunt with a bow during those seasons, but you have to have that firearm tag. Your regular Illinois archery permit does not work during those. It's a 3-day on the front end and a 4-day on the back end. So you have to have that. I've had a DNR officer refer to it as a all weapons season, right?
I
but
see.
You have to have that firearm permit for those 7 days.
Okay. Touch on this a little bit. The difference between a bow hunter and a gun hunter.
Simple. A bow hunter's hunt starts where a gun hunter's hunt ends. Right? Because you have a different range.
I know you got a different range, but the person who says, man, all I'm killing is there people out there I'm just killing with a bow?
Yes.
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 That's
yes.
What I mean. There's diehard bow hunters that, like, I'm not killing with a gun.
Yeah. There is that. There is that.
That you type, know, who's that guy?
You got all kinds. You got all kinds. Now, your typical hardcore bow hunter is bow favorable. They would like to harvest with a bow. They're typically pretty well-rounded as outdoors people. They're fishing, mm-hmm. you know, they'll do some gun hunting, things of that nature. I think what you're talking about would be that hardcore, you know, outside fringe of everything I do is bow. Yeah. I don't want to do guns. Forget crossbows, they're stupid.
Yeah.
You know,
this is a man's game.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, my thoughts on that are slightly different. We're all same team.
Yes.
There are people that hunt and there are people that don't. So the more we can get along, the stronger our alliance is to make sure that we can keep hunting.
Yes.
But yeah, there are those guys, and we've got lots of them, and they're great people, and they are just, you know, head over heels for bow hunting. And it's really neat because, they call it kinetic energy, right? You pull that bow back, and you're holding, and as soon as you release that arrow, it comes out so fast and so strong and so powerful that it's a unique feeling that you aren't going to get anywhere else because it's your own doing. You're creating that and that draw, all of that energy, and then boom, it just, that arrow goes, and you hope you aim small and miss small, you know?
Yeah. What's the range for bow hunters?
You know, there's a biologist, his name's Grant Woods. I consider him a legend. He's a great guy. He's done a study where over 35 yards, and I'd say maybe 40 yards, but somewhere in that range, the deer has the ability to drop and lower its body position below a range where you're going to hit what you're aiming for. So it can technically duck that arrow.
Yes.
Out past 35, 40 yards. So that really...
Do they hear it or feel it coming or what?
I think they hear it.
Okay.
The sound of a bow, doesn't matter how nice of a bow you have, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on it, it's going to make a noise when you let go of that arrow.
Do you think deer experience that sound and get scared, and when they hear it again, they react quicker?
I think most mature bucks have... in fact, heard that sound.
That's why the mature bucks.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But out past, now there are a lot of new technologies that have done a great job marketing, and I'm primarily speaking of these newer crossbows that are super fast and super powerful. They're marketing that you can take a much longer shot than that. I tend to disagree. You know, I think the important thing is with our hunters, we make sure that they don't shoot past what they've practiced, right?
I got
When you're in a stand and, you know, Chris, let's say I take you hunting, you have your life's experiences to build from, right? Mm-hmm. If you have the buck of your dreams out there at 50 yards, it has no idea you're there, and you're you know, a master of your craft with your crossbow, I'm not gonna shame on you for taking that shot. I'd expect you to look at the deer's body language and make sure that it's in a relaxed, comfortable position where the advantage is to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a startled deer out there that's aware of your presence at 50 yards, you shouldn't take that shot with any type of archery equipment.
I see.
But if you have some type of a relaxed environment, let's say the deer is in one of the food plots and it's, you know, feeding, it's got its head up, right? When mm-hmm. a deer's head is up, it only has gravity to fall. And you know that you're going to aim heart shot, which allows that deer to fall into where your arrow is going,
mm-hmm.
then I think that's a recipe for success in most situations.
I see. Well, this has been very educational for me. Not that I'm going to take up deer hunting. Well, we got Aaron Quillen with Monarch Rivers. Monarch Rivers is the name of your company.
Yes, sir.
And we got Paul from Michigan. And how do they contact you, Aaron?
Well, we have a website, monarchrivers.com.
Okay.
As well as Facebook, Instagram. Oh. Which would be facebook.com/monarchrivers or instagram.com/monarchrivers.
Monarch Rivers, yes. All right. Yes, well, thanks a lot for coming in today. It's been very educational and fun. Appreciate you guys coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Continue on. and have a great season.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.